So this morning we haven't got the sheet, so if you'd like to find the passage in your Bibles, we're reading from John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42, and that's on page 1064 in the Church Bibles, 1064. I'll just pray before we start. Father God, we thank you for all of your word. And we pray, Lord, as we read about your first disciples and how they followed you in simple obedience, help us to imitate them, Lord, and help us to be true followers of the Lord Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen. So, John chapter 1 from verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Thanks be to God.
Well, I hope you'll take your Bibles back up, please, please, please. As you know, we're having our Bibles open now, and if you've got them, is it page 1064, is that right?
Yes.
1064. Do turn to it, because it'll help me to know that as I'm looking at scriptures with you, you are reading too, and that together we are growing and receiving the bread of the Word of God. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that Jesus is indeed the Lamb who bears our sins away, and that he is the one who shed his blood for us, and that you are the one who has given us spiritual food from heaven through him, through faith in him. And we pray now, Lord, that you would feed us through your word. Give us eyes that we would see Jesus, that we would be moved with all that we are, all that we have, to follow him in every way. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, as Jono said at the beginning of the service, and we didn't talk about this, so again, it just reminds us, isn't it, how the Lord is at work. We're into 2023 now, and in fact, it's the third Sunday. So the first was the first Sunday, the eighth, and now we're the third Sunday since the beginning of the new year. And I wonder if any of you made any New Year's resolutions. If when the new year began, you made a promise to yourself or to somebody else or even to God that you were going to do things slightly differently, that you were going to turn over a new leaf, a new year, a new start. To live differently. Perhaps you've been somebody who's not really looked at Christian things and you've decided you want to have a look. Perhaps you're somebody who is a Christian but you've slipped away a bit and you want to start off afresh with Jesus. Perhaps you're someone who's really going for it with Jesus and just wants some encouragement. Well, I hope and pray as we come to our passage this morning that we will see all of that for ourselves as we see who Jesus is. We're going to find Jesus making a new start himself. Because here in this passage this morning, we see Jesus beginning his ministry. Up until now, John has been saying, "Look, there's Jesus. Don't follow me, follow him." And now we find John doing that, but this time we see Jesus doing ministry. So this morning we're going to see who Jesus is. John the Baptist points him out as the Lamb of God. We're going to see what Jesus offers. Jesus says, come and see. And we're also going to see the new start that Jesus gives as two people begin to follow him. So whether we're a Christian here or not a Christian here this morning, we'll see Jesus right up close. We're, as it were, zooming in on him to see why he matters to each and every one of us and the difference that he makes in life and why each and every day we need his help to keep on making that new start for him. Well, let's look, shall we, to start with at John's message about Jesus. And we see that again in verses 35 and 36 and 37. If you were with us last week, you'll remember Dan preached on the previous passage. And already, John the Baptist, verse 29, said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here, this morning, is the next day. John was there again with two of his disciples. And John suddenly sees Jesus and says and points him out to him. Look, he says, the Lamb of God. John knows that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He wants other people to know that Jesus is the Lamb of God, but why? He's not saying that Jesus looks like a sheep. He's not saying that Jesus walks like a sheep, that Jesus talks like a sheep, that Jesus eats like a sheep, that Jesus lives like a sheep. He's saying something so much more important. John is saying that Jesus has come into the world to rescue us, to be the Lamb who dies for us. Way back in Exodus, we're in it a few years ago. You may remember God was rescuing his people out of Egypt and the Egyptians wouldn't let them go. And so God sent plagues, and the final plague was the plague in which God said that the firstborn of every person, every family would die. But God did say that those who put their faith in him, his people, would live. And he said, look, take a lamb into your homes. Eat it for food, but also put the blood on the outside of your doors so that when my angel of death comes over in judgment, he will see that a lamb has died so that the firstborn doesn't need to die. You see, what's going on here is a swap. The lamb gets it, so the firstborn doesn't. This was the way of rescue. No one had to die unless you didn't listen to God and take him seriously. Likewise, the firstborn of every family should die because all of them had rejected God. It wasn't just the Egyptians that were guilty. Everybody had. And later on in the Old Testament, God kept on providing a lamb by way of sacrifice for sin. And in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, God promised that the Christ, his special servant, in fact, his king, in fact, he himself would come down from heaven and would die like a sheep for the sin of the world. So John here is saying that Jesus is coming to die for our sin, for all the ways that I and you and everybody else, well, we reject God. We think we can do life without God. I've got my plan for today. I'm going to do what I want to do without thinking about God. Or perhaps we might just take God a little bit seriously. We often live, don't we, as if God doesn't exist. We make plans without him. We act as if we're God and he is not. We may not do that all the time, but we do that some of the time. And the truth is, we are all sinners in need of someone to die for us, to pay for the penalty of our sin. John knew he needed a savior. John knew that Jesus was the Lamb of God. It was an urgent message. That's why he kept on telling them. He told them the same message the day before, the one that we're reading about today. And again, his disciples are with him. Jesus walks by, and John says this, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when those two disciples heard him, what did they do? Just have a look down at verse 37. What do? They follow Jesus. They followed John until then, but now they walk away from John and they follow Jesus. They realize that if Jesus really is the Lamb of God, then they need him to pay the price for their sin. Maybe they'd heard John the previous day saying Jesus was the Lamb of God. It hadn't registered then. Maybe you're hearing this perhaps for the first time, or perhaps you've heard it before and you're thinking, hey, yeah, this makes sense. And these two followers of John took a look at themselves and said, yes, I am a sinner. I need Jesus to die for my sin. Now, many of us here today have heard this message time and again. We know that Jesus came that first Easter to die, or he came so that he would die that first Easter on a cross for our sin, so that we could be friends with God. And lots of us here already have said, yes, I know I'm a sinner. I need Jesus, the Lamb of God. He's died for me. I've chosen to follow him, and now I'm in friendship with God. It may have taken some of us many years to do that. Others, well, we may have made that decision when we were a very small child. But there may be a few of us here this morning who have yet to make that choice. Firstly, a choice about ourselves to say, yes, I am a sinner, and then to come to Jesus, the one who came to die for our sin. The word COVID has come back into the newspapers, hasn't it, this last week? And everybody's talking about it. The COVID numbers are rising, people are concerned. And sadly, people are becoming sick and dying. And we're very worried. Because you see, unless we get the vaccinations to protect us, we all could potentially die of that illness. And just imagine for a moment that there were no vaccines in Sheffield. In fact, the only place that there was a vaccine was down in London. What would you be doing? We'd all be telling everybody else, look, get down to London, get your jab, so that you can be made safe. Well, if you and I think that sin is not serious, I want to say to you that sin is far more serious than COVID. Because sin affects our lives now and forever. It keeps us out of God's kingdom, out of God's heaven forever, and it makes us his enemies. That's why we need Jesus to come to die for our sin, to pay the price for us. So that we don't need to. So that we can go to be with God rather than kept out of God's presence because we're sinners. Jesus is the one who comes to die for our sin. And you and I have a choice this morning to listen to that message, to act on it, and to believe it. But if we ignore it, let's be under no illusions. We will face the punishment for our sin, punishment that Jesus took in agony on the cross, being cut off from God, facing hell. So we need not. So these two disciples, we don't know their names yet, they go off with Jesus. And as they follow Jesus, Jesus speaks to them. Jesus says, come and see. And we see this in verses 38 and 39. Just follow it through in your Bibles. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher. They didn't really understand who he was. Where are you staying? And Jesus says, come, he replied, and you will see. And so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It's about 4 PM. Jesus wants these two followers of John to follow him. He wants to give them that invitation to take a look at him, to come and see who he is up close, so that they can understand who he is far more than a teacher, but God come into the world, the Lamb of God, to die for us. They have an invitation to come and see, to check Jesus out, to get to know Jesus. One of the things I really enjoy at Holy Cross is meeting new people, and it's a great joy, isn't it, that over the last few weeks and months we've had new people coming along to Holy Cross. And one of the great joys is chatting to them either when they arrive or over after coffee. And you know what? I am never going to get to know new people unless I spend time with them. Unless I meet them, chat with them. And if I don't spend time with them, I won't get to know them. And if I don't spend time with the people that I already know, I won't keep on knowing them. We will grow apart and grow distant. We'll become strangers. And the same is true here with Jesus. Jesus invites these two disciples to be with him. He wants these people to follow him and believe in him by coming and seeing. Jesus says, come and see, come and meet me. They went and saw who Jesus was, the Lamb of God. They came and saw why he came. They began to understand that he came to die for their sin. And more than that, they also came to see why it mattered. Because that is the only way by which we can come into his kingdom and be his friends. And you know what? That's exactly the same for you and for me also this morning. Exactly the same. Anyone who's ever become a Christian in the world knows that the first part of that is coming and seeing who Jesus is. That doesn't mean to say that we see him in person, but we come to meet him in and through his word, the scriptures, what he has given to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We can see who Jesus is because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, inspired the people to write these words so that we can meet Jesus in them. Those of us that are Christians open the scriptures to check Jesus out, and we came to meet him and believe in him. And the way of keeping going in friendship with Jesus is to keep on opening the Bible, isn't it? If we have our Bibles closed, we will stop meeting Jesus. If we have them open, we will come to see more of him. We will grow in our friendship. Whereas if we have them shut, we will become strangers to Jesus. That's why as Christians we do take that time day by day. That's also why in growth groups we encourage one another to be opening the scriptures to get to know Jesus more and more. So I want to say to you, if you're somebody who calls yourself here a Christian, I want to say to you, get into your Bible. If you're finding it difficult, why not just pick up a copy of John's Gospel? And we've put some little notes in there as to how to do it. But just start reading John's Gospel and get to know Jesus. Come and see as you open and read. That was Jesus' promise then, and it's his promise to you and to me today. And if you are a Christian, and if you're not doing that, Jesus will become a stranger. People often say to me, that when they tell me that they have, well, their faith in Jesus has grown cold, I ask them, are you still reading the Bible? And they say, no, we're not. And it can sometimes feel like a chore to start reading the Bible. But Jesus says, come and see. And that's what I want to encourage us to do today, if we're Christians. Come and see and keep on going. Keep on seeing. If you're somebody here who's not a Christian, can I pass Jesus' invitation on to you also? To come and see. Yes, pick up one of these by all means. But also, why not pick up a Taking a Look card? Fill that in and give it back to me, or pop it in one of the boxes on the table over there and say, look, actually, I want to come and take a look. 25 minutes every so often. to get to know who Jesus is, why he came, and why it really matters to us. Jesus says, come and see. Are you doing that? Will you do that? We want to help you to do so. And then finally, Jesus ends by giving a new start. We see here in verses 40 to 42 the difference that knowing Jesus and believing in him makes. Jesus gives a new start. John tells us that one of those two disciples who accepted Jesus' invitation to come and see, his name was Andrew. Just look down there at verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And then we go on and read what happened after he had spent time with Jesus. Andrew doesn't go back to life as normal. Yes, he's a fisherman. He doesn't go straight out to fish. What does Andrew do? Just listen into verse 41 and see if you can work out what Andrew does. And it's not just something that he adds on to his normal day. It's the first thing he does. Verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, the Christ, the King of God's kingdom, the Lamb of God." You see, Andrew knows who Jesus is. He's spent time with him. He's begun to come and see who Jesus is. And he doesn't want to hold on to that information. He wants other people to know. He wants his brother to know so that his brother can become a Christian too. And so what does Andrew do? He tells him, "We've come, found the Messiah." And verse 42, he brings his brother Simon to Jesus so that he can meet him. That's what it is to be a Christian. Hey, I know Jesus. Come and meet him too. Jesus has given Andrew a new start. And we can see the newness of this start in his life because the first thing he does is speak about Jesus. Nothing else matters. Jesus is now top of his list. Andrew has started over with Jesus. He started his friendship with God through faith in Jesus. He doesn't quite know how it's going to work out at this stage. And let's face it, when people become Christians, we often don't. But Andrew has started, and he wants Simon to start as well. And let's note, it isn't about patching up the old life here. Andrew doesn't add Jesus to his life. He puts Jesus first, the first thing he does. I'm wearing an old jumper. You may not see it's old, but if you come up and have a look at it quite closely, you'll see that I've had to add things to it. I've had to add a bit of stuff around here or darn it with some wool to make sure that it doesn't fall apart. I cannot make this jumper new again. It's old. And the point is, what we're seeing here is that Jesus doesn't make Andrew just patch him up. Jesus makes him new, with a new priority to put Jesus first. A new start. A new start. Jesus' gift is something that we cannot earn. If you see that down there, Andrew did nothing to earn friendship with Jesus. He did nothing to earn that fresh start. All he did was spend time with Jesus, and Jesus gave him that. You see, it reminds us, doesn't it, that being a Christian isn't about just brushing ourselves up. Isn't about coming to church, although that's a good thing to do and right thing to do. But it's about coming to Jesus, seeing who Jesus is, and accepting the new life that Jesus gives. In chapter 3, Jesus is going to say, it's like being born again. Starting again with God. That's what Andrew's done. And he wants his brother to have the same. And what does Jesus do when he sees his brother, Simon? Verse 42, he says, "You are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas." And if you look at the bottom of your Bibles, you'll see that that word Cephas not only means Peter, but it also means rock. Because Jesus is saying, look, actually, Peter, yes, you're going to have a new start by being a disciple of mine, but also you're going to have a really important new role. You won't feel like it at the moment, but actually I am going to build my church upon you. You are the rock, and you too are going to have a new start now with me. New priorities, new outlook because of their new relationship with God through Jesus. That's what he offered Simon and Andrew and gave to them the moment they spent time with him and let him open their eyes. That's what he offers to you and to me this morning. As we see who Jesus is, we all have the opportunity to believe and accept and be given the new start. And having been given that new start, to keep on in that new start. Making Jesus number one in everything that we are, in everything that we do, in everything that we say, in everything that we have. And that includes telling other people about Jesus. Now, you may not feel very comfortable about that, but it's very obvious that that's what's going on here. John says, look, go and see Jesus. Andrew says to his brother Simon, go and see Jesus. But we can all at least give somebody a book. Say, hey, come and meet Jesus. We can all give somebody an invitation. Come and meet Jesus. So that they can have that new start. Don't be somebody who holds on to the best news of the world. Just imagine if somebody had found the cure for coronavirus and held on to it and didn't tell anybody. That's what it's like if we hold on to the news about Jesus and don't tell others. It's an encouragement, isn't it, to ask Jesus to help us with this, to help us to put him first, and to help us to live out that new start and help others to come to join in that new start too. So this morning, as we see Jesus beginning his ministry, we hear John the Baptist say, look, Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one who is God come into the world, the one who dies for our sin. The question is, have we seen him and believed in him? Seen him not necessarily in a picture form, but realized who he is through what we're seeing here in John's Gospel. Have we seen that we're sinners needing that new start? And I guess if you are somebody who's seen that, you're saying, yes, yes, yes. Don't miss out. Don't be sat there and miss out. Come and have a chat to me afterwards if you'd like to know more about this, about how to respond to Jesus' invitation to come and see and to keep on coming and seeing. And if you're somebody who's perhaps struggling with that new start, you got in a rut, again, come and have a chat to me or one of the staff team, somebody else you know in the church family, and we'd love to help you. Because it's the start of a new life with God that never ends, that will take us through this life into eternity in heaven with him. Let's pray, shall we? Look, the Lamb of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh this morning that you sent your Son, Jesus, into the world. Not to lord it over us as a king, but instead to die for our sin so that we can be made your friends, forgiven for our sin, and brought back into friendship. Thank you, too, that Jesus says, come and see. Thank you that it's a promise, come and you will see. And thank you too for that new start that Jesus offers us. Please, I pray for each one of us here. You know where we are with you. You know whether we've started that new life with you. whether we've started and faltered and just slowing up a bit, or whether we've never started it at all. And Father, if we have started it and are keeping going, help us to be thankful that it's not by our strength, but by yours. Please, by your Holy Spirit, write these words upon our hearts and enable us to live them out, not just today, but each and every day, this week, this month, this year, for all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.